When you walk through large public places like Penn Station or Grand Central, or taken an airplane anywhere, or even been in a large crowd of people, chances are you've seen one of them, a bomb-sniffing dog. Since the 9/11 attacks and the increase in security in New York and other cities, police officers with German Shepherds have become normal parts of the scenery. Zane Roberts trains those dogs for the MSA security company and was featured in an article by Joshua Levine called The Training of a Bomb Dog. It's published in the July-August issue of Smithsonian Magazine. I'm very pleased to welcome both Zane Roberts and Joshua Levine to our show today. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Zane, how popular were bomb dogs before 9/11?
Well, bomb dogs have been around for a long time. I think they came into being in the mid-70s, but obviously in the environment we live in today, they're becoming more and more popular.
Are you getting requests from all over the country?
Yes, we are. We've never been busier.
Are people in Omaha and Albuquerque afraid that a terrorist might plant a bomb in their cities? Or are we talking about mostly the larger cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York,
Well,
Boston?
I think everybody realizes that the potential for them to be a target is there, while the likelihood of the target probably in a bigger city is greater. But because of the Boston bombing, it occurred at a sporting event. I think anybody who does security at any kind of sporting event, whether it's an NFL football game or a Major League Baseball game or a marathon, has got to be wondering if the same thing could happen to them. So, you know, there's definitely an increased concern in the security world that this could happen again.
Were there bomb-sniffing dogs in Boston along the marathon route?
They used explosive detection canines in Boston. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't really privy to how they were deployed, but I know that they do use them regularly at the marathon.
But, Joshua, it didn't work in this case.
In the case of the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, given the circumstances, given that it was such a huge route, I spoke to some of the people, and in fact some of the MSA people up in Boston after that occurred, and that's a tall order to find a bomb in a trash can along a 26-mile route. I don't think you can really hold the dogs responsible for that.
You write about the case of a German Shepherd named Brandy in 1972. Can you tell us about her?
Yes, I was going through what had been written on the internet, and I found actually some newspaper reports from the Times. Apparently, in the early days when they were still doing research on whether dogs could sniff out bombs, there was an extortion threat that was telephoned into TWA. This was in 1972 at Kennedy Airport, and they threatened to blow up a plane. So planes were brought back, planes were grounded, and Brandy happened to be on the scene because he was really there for demonstration purposes. This was just a research project at the time. Luckily, he was there, and they brought him in, and they brought him into TWA Flight 7, and off he went, sniffing and snuffling, and headed apparently right to a black suitcase that was marked crew, and yes, indeed, it was full of bombs. And that made a believer out of a lot of people, including President Nixon, who gave the FAA their bomb dog crews shortly thereafter.
So we started seeing more bomb dogs, but it wasn't until after 9/11 that we really started seeing a major increase.
Well, yeah, I mean, Zane can certainly speak to that, but when I spoke to him and the MSA people, they only had, if I recall correctly, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15 teams before 9/11, and there was just a huge upsurge of interest after that. I'm avoiding the use of the word explosion, but everybody just got bomb conscious, even though 9/11 had nothing to do with bombs.
Now, Zane, don't bomb dogs come from usually two breeds, German Shepherds and Labrador Retrievers?
Yes, for the most part, I would say those two are the most popular breeds. Obviously, there's a lot of Belgian Malinois that are also used for explosive detection.
But not scent hounds, bloodhounds, basset hounds, beagles?
No. While those dogs have very good olfaction, meaning they have very strong senses in their nose, they're really not the type of dog that you would want to use for this type of work.
Are the dogs that are used to sniff out bombs also the same kinds of dogs that are used to sniff out drugs and bodies that have been lost in the rubble after a disaster?
Absolutely. You know, you just teach the dog what odor you want that dog to find, whether it's explosives or narcotics or accelerants in the case of arsons or, you know, missing persons.
Well, haven't there been reports of dogs being able to smell tumors in people?
I have heard that. Yes, they've been able to detect cancer in people before technology has been able to do so.
But Joshua, what is it about dogs' noses that allows them to do this kind of work?
Well, in the course of the research, I spoke to a lot of academics, and it's a combination of things. One is just the physiognomy of dogs. They have a huge number of cells devoted to smelling. I mean, their brains, since they relate to the world that way,
if you walk
a
dog,
a higher proportion of a dog's brain is devoted to analyzing smells.
If you walk a dog, he's going to keep his nose to the ground, right?
Excuse me?
When you walk a dog, he usually keeps his nose to the ground. He's sniffing all the time.
Absolutely, Leonard.
I mean, that's his window on the world. I think a human, it's something like 5% of the human brain devoted to smelling. Dogs, somewhere upwards of 30%. The second aspect, though, which is equally important, there are other animals that smell as well as dogs, but I don't think they're particularly interested in going around at the end of a leash trying to detect a bomb. A dog likes to do that. He likes to please the people who are handling him. He likes to please humans in general, and he finds the whole thing fun. A rat, who also smells particularly well, doesn't get much of a charge out of being led to smell a bomb.
Well, pigs have been used to sniff out truffles, but that's because they want to eat the truffles.
Well, there might be a future in bomb pigs. I don't know.
Well, Joshua, you write that a dog deconstructs a scent. What do you mean by that?
Well, this was something I learned from Zane, actually. It was Zane who explained it most clearly to me in saying that instead of smelling all of the components of a smell together as we would spaghetti sauce, that was the analogy he used that I used in the article, the dog is constantly breaking it down into garlic and oregano and tomatoes, and in that sense, he's not really smelling the whole thing. He's smelling all of its component parts. And then the handler, when the dog reacts to those components, is the one who says, aha, there's a bomb here.
Because you could try to disguise the bomb by sticking other smells in, but the dog will discern the gunpowder or whatever it is
that's
going to explode?
That's right. The dog is going to home in right on those components anyway and just pick them out of the overall odor.
My guests are Joshua Levine, whose article Training of a Bomb Dog is in the July-August issue of Smithsonian Magazine, Zane Roberts, who trains these dogs. Zane, what's perhaps most surprising is the source of a lot of these dogs, prison. Can you tell us about the puppies behind Barra's program?
Actually, MSA Security gets its dogs from five sources. Four of them are guide dog services, and the fifth one is the Puppies Behind Barra's program. They're all wonderful organizations, like Guiding Eyes for the Blind, Seeing Eye for the Blind, and the Guide Dog Foundation, along with Fidelco Guide Dogs here in Connecticut. They raise tremendously talented and really smart guide dogs. But these organizations are looking for a dog with a certain personality that's going to fit to be doing guide dog work. Many of their dogs, like 70% of the dogs they breed to be guide dogs, do not possess that type of personality. They might be very interested in odors. They might be obsessed with toys. They might have a little bit too much energy. Characteristics that would make them not suitable for guide dog work, they make them perfect for detection work. So the Puppies Behind Barra's program allows inmates to raise these dogs, train these dogs, prepare them for additional training that we're going to get them. They teach them to follow their hand like they would do for an explosive detection canine, and they find their toy, and it really helps a lot when we get them to train them additionally.
Well, what goes into the training process? How much can you actually tell us? Because from what Joshua suggests in his article, some of this is pretty secret.
Well, it's anytime you're training any kind of a detection dog, It's basically, as far as explosive detection, it's a two-step process. The first thing you want to do is you want to teach the dogs which odors we want them to find and what response we want them to have when they find it. You know, for explosives, we just want them to passively sit and wait for their reward. You know, the second step would be to teach them to find these odors operationally, meaning how to search a piece of luggage properly, how to search a car properly, where to search on a box properly, how to do an open area or a field search, how to search a person. And so, you know, once you teach the dog the odor and the response you want, then you have to work with them operationally. It takes about 3 to 4 months for us to fully train a bomb dog prior to being deployed with one of our handlers.
And Joshua, don't labs and shepherds have to be trained differently because they respond to different kinds of reward systems?
Yeah, it appears so. Shepherds are what they call play reward dogs, and the reward for them then is a tennis ball or something that they can play with. Labradors are more interested in food, and they're always hungry. So when I was up at MSA's facility, I watched a dog called Mary, a delightful dog, being trained on the various cans where they put the odors that they want the dog to search. And when the dog would find the right odor, when Mary would find the right odor, there's a handful of kibble that tells Mary that, yes, she's accomplished her task. So yeah, there are two different kinds of stimulus for those two breeds.
Well, do they like doing this, or do they see this as work which eventually gets you a reward?
No, this is for them, this is a good time. And, in fact, if humans could be as happy in their work as dogs, or at least as these dogs, there would be a lot less grumpiness in the world. They really appear to get a charge out of this. And in speaking to the Puppies Behind Bars folks in terms of early dog training, if there's a dog that is not suitable for this kind of work, it's a dog that just doesn't get that much of a charge out of play. They want a dog that loves to play because this work for them is play.
Well, they tried to give me kibble after I started doing the show, and I didn't respond to that. I think play is more fun. Zane, the length of time it takes to train a dog is surprising, isn't it? 8 to 9 years? Why does it take so long?
No, it doesn't take 8 to 9 years to train them. It takes about 3 to 4 months to train them before they go to work with their handler. We get them when they're about anywhere from a year to 18 months old, and they will retire at about 8 years old. So their working life is 6.5 or 7 years. It's not that their nose deteriorates or anything like that on their 8th birthday where they can no longer do the job, but it is physically demanding on them, and at a certain point, you know, every dog should retire and be able to be a regular house pet.
Where are they being used most, by the armed forces overseas?
There's no doubt that the United States Armed Forces uses a lot of explosive detection canines. I think the U.S. military spent billions of dollars trying to figure out the best way, the best technology they could invent, how to best find these improvised explosive devices over there in the theater of operation we're currently in. And after billions of dollars, it was determined by the Defense Department that the best detection device out there for explosives is still the dog.
Now, Joshua, aren't some dogs coming home with what veterinarians are now calling canine PTSD? What does that look like in a dog? Is it similar to PTSD in humans?
Well, it's a little bit fuzzy, and all the people I spoke to who are dog veterinarians and have looked at this are at pains to make clear that they're only doing this by analogy, because one doesn't really know what a dog feels like, and you can't ask them. So they're calling it PTSD a little bit by default, but the symptoms can vary, and they're not all that dissimilar from human symptoms. Some of the dogs just go catatonic and have that kind of that thousand-yard stare. Some of them get hyperactive and jumpy. If there's a noise, they'll cower. So there could be a range of symptoms, and they really have to look at this. This is fairly new that they've even tried to identify it. So they're trying to look at it a little bit more closely so they can come up with a diagnosis that sounds like something more that a dog gets than a human.
A listener, and we have very little time, Amy from Manhattan, wonders what it is about bloodhounds, basset hounds, and beagles who have good olfactory function that doesn't make them good subjects for bomb-sniffing training.
Well, when I was up at MSA, I spoke to one of Zane's colleagues, a fellow named Mike Wynn, who had been with the Connecticut State Police and had worked with bloodhounds. And Mike was telling me that they're great at following a straight line scent. So if you've got a convict who's broken out of jail and is running away, what you want is a bloodhound. But they're not that good on the kinds of bomb-sniffing tasks that German Shepherds and Labs are. And, you know, just one final disadvantage, apparently they smell really awful.
Now, just one more thing. After they retire, can they just live normal lives as house pets?
Absolutely. Basically, all of the explosive detection canines that MSA has, and we have almost 200 of them across the country, they live just like any other dog would live. They're not treated like working dogs unless they're at work. And the only difference is they just have to, work for their food or work for their tennis ball. But they're treated just like any other animal would be in as a pet.
But you'd feel safe because if anybody has a bomb in the neighborhood, they will find it. We have a link to Joshua Levine's article on our show page. It's in the current issue of Smithsonian Magazine, The Training of a Bomb Dog. Thanks, Zane Roberts and Joshua Levine, for being on our show today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you very much.